Blog Talk Radio.
If you could be a superhero, would you be Justice Guy? Making sure people get what they deserve, especially women who lie. Like if a wife left her husband with three kids and no job, to run off to fucking Hawaii with some doctor named Bob. You could skin them and drain them of blood so they die. Go see that motherfucker Bob. Then you would be Justice Guy.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Anthony Sinandres.
Yes, and hello everyone. This is the 13th This Week in Comics. So that's why we have the tagline Friday. It works on multiple levels. Yeah, of course, San Diego Comic-Con just let out, and we have a lot of Comic-Con news for you. If you don't know about it yet, if you do, then good for you. We're happy for you. But if you don't know about it, first off, Superman vs. Batman, Zack Snyder had a WWE panel where we got to see Gal Ace Attorney series, something. She was in the Wonder Woman suit. And they also showed, as you mentioned to me, Anthony, a 30-second teaser, which leaked online and then was taken down because haha.
And now it's been confirmed they will not release it at all.
I mean, it's the internet, so someone has it.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it's going to spread around, but it's one of those things where it's like, it was leaked online by us. We made the leak, and now you can never see it again. Except the people who saved it, like people saved it to their hard drives. No one.
Exactly.
No one didn't. Like, who wouldn't save that to your hard drive immediately? Just, nope, just save. Also, we had the entire cast of Avengers 2 come up on stage. Not in the WB panel. This was a separate panel. That would have been a very interesting panel. And, of course, you know, they also leaked a clip, which the preview did not leak online. So as of right now,
the preview itself, it was just like an audio clip of one of Ultron's lines from the movie. They leaked it.
Oh,
online.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, so now I'm confused. Okay, you're telling me that there was no actual clip. It was the only audio.
Yeah, in the panel they did show a trailer, but what happened was online the trailer itself never leaked. Someone just uploaded the audio of Ultron speaking.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So they never leaked that trailer.
No.
That's what I was saying. Yes.
Yes.
So I was right. Damn you. But we do have the audio of Ultron, which is nice, who is voiced by James Spader. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And also, which, by the way, if you don't know, he said, I don't know how he sounded. Sadly, I did not get to listen to the audio. However, I'm going to assume that it sounded like, you wanted peace. The only logical step to accomplishing this goal is your extermination.
You're close.
Excuse me? Did you just step on my turf, bitch? That's how I feel right there. Just Joss Whedon, you know what you did there. So that happened, which was nice. And, of course, you have RDJ being RDJ, you know? So, of course, like, what else can Marvel throw at you after this, said RDJ? Well, we have Thanos. That's exactly how he sounds, by the way. So, of course, now we have Josh Brolin come out on stage wielding the Infinity Gauntlet, which is awesome because if you're thinking, oh, that's great, he's going to be in, like, the next Avengers movie, he probably won't be.
So, well, you know what? Let me not say it. It's kind of a spoiler for something, so just go on.
All right, fair enough, but I'll say this much. Then we won't spoil it. Are you referring to, like, a spoiler for one of the movies coming up, or?
Kind of, because it was already in a video that Marvel officially released, so it's a spoiler.
Right.
At the same time, it's not, so.
Well, all right. What matters is we have these, the photo, right, of the actual, they released the dates for their next upcoming movies. And honestly, they got a lot of money coming in.
They really do, especially with some of the taglines, the storylines they're going to be doing look really damn cool.
No, like, even putting those aside, just the fact that they're making movies this way,
mm-hmm.
because I'm looking at the movies that are coming up from 2015 to 2019, and maybe it's just me, but it seems like to have 10 movies come out, that's a lot.
Definitely.
And if you're wondering what they are, well, first we have you know, May 1st, obviously we have Age of Ultron, right? July 17th, we have Ant-Man, as you know. Then July 28th, we have Guardians of the Galaxy War of Kings. I'm sorry if you're – don't be spoiled. I'm so sorry. You know, the Guardians did not die in this movie that just came out today. Which, by the way, go see Guardians of the Galaxy today. I'm going to definitely see it on Sunday. Great movie. Definitely check it out. But I'm so sorry if you haven't seen it yet. None of them died horrifically. Or maybe one of them did. But either way, they're still keeping the tagline, Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, it's coming out July 28th. I'm reading this wrong. That makes more sense.
I was wondering what happened.
Thank goodness. Okay, because I was thinking, wait a minute, July 28th, 2015, what? No. Ant-Man's coming out, right? Then, after Ant-Man, is May 6th, 2016, is going to be Captain America, the third one. That's the tagline. It's not the Fallen Sun now. It's the third one. July 8th, we're getting Doctor Strange. Then May 5th, 2017, we're getting Thor Ragnarok, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Then July 28th, 2017, we're getting Guardians of the Galaxy War of Kings. Then in November of that same year, we're getting Black Panther. Then, skip all the way, not even all the way, actually. See, this is I was saying before, where it's just July 6th isn't that far.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. From November, I feel.
Yeah, it's really not that bad.
No. And then, because think about it, right? July 6th, we have Avengers Civil War, right? Which, no Thanos in there, which is what I
would imagine not.
No, I would imagine not. And, I mean, honestly, we'll talk about that in a second, but because right after that, November 2nd, we have World War Hulk. Which that actually ties in rather nicely, I would say. Though it's upsetting, but again, we'll talk about that soon. And then May 3rd, we have, what is that, X-Men? Oh, no, I'm sorry, Inhumans. May 3rd, 2019, we have Inhumans.
The
which
non-mutant
is really,
mutants.
Which is really funny, because it says Inhumans now, but I have the strangest feeling, that by the time 2019 rolls around, they'll have the rights back for X-Men. So that
really?
Will just, it'll, so that, I don't know why, I have a strange feeling that maybe they'll be able to, because I know it's only, well, here's the thing, it's 5 years away. We don't know what's happening with Fox, you know, you never know what can happen. I know that Fox has a few movies planned themselves, but I don't think they have them planned past 2019, do they?
Not that I know of, I have a feeling it's up to 2017 or 2018.
That's what I'm saying. So for all we know, they could just say, what are we going to do with this here, you know? And then if they don't find it profitable, because sadly, even though X-Men has, in my opinion, has a lot of different characters in it, for all we know, they might stop making money if they just become the Wolverine show with a really old Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
You know? So we don't know where they're going there. So for all we know, yeah, they can be like, screw it, we don't need this anymore. Spider-Man's making us all the money we need because he's Spider-Man. Especially,
oh, Spider-Man's in trouble.
Well, here's the thing. Spider-Man is in trouble, I will admit. But I think that there's, for some reason, I feel as if there's less money to put into, to pump into a Spider-Man movie than there is an X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if your X-Men movies, I feel as if even if an X-Men movie makes more than a Spider-Man movie, you have to see how it evens out with the budgets put into them.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've spent on who. I mean, when you look at an ensemble cast versus I'm talking about as heroes, you know, compared to Spider-Man, I feel as if there's a bit less of money. But yeah, that's just me, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with, you know, how with these Spider-Man movies, it seems to be very based in New York, where currently X-Men just looks to be doing very apocalyptic. A lot of CGI destruction. Do something, damn it. Make someone explode. But anyway, so before we move on, I want to talk about Civil War, because we see this here. How do you feel about Civil War happening as a film?
I'm very good mixture of excited and nervousness, because there is a lot to handle, and there are some pretty key characters in that movie, in the comic, rather, that they don't have the rights to right now. Like Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, X-Men members. I'm curious as to who's, like, I mean, obviously so far the Marvel movies have done a lot of different changes. Certain characters have become hybrids of multiple characters and all that. But I'm just wondering how that's all going to work out. And I'm wondering how, if they do go the same route as the comic with Tony pitted against Cap, I'm wondering how they're going to disintegrate their, I guess they're not, like, the best of friends right now, but that friendship within these few movies. But it definitely looks set up with it, especially with the whole third Thor movie coming right before it.
Well, yes, I'll say this much. There's a lot that they introduced before it, I think, that makes me happy. See, when I read it wrong, it looked as if there was a lot of Avengers movies, you know, Avengers Civil War coming out before Doctor Strange, and, you know, but to have Doctor Strange there, Ant-Man and Black Panther, well, that does not make up for the plethora of people that they had in the comic book version of Civil War. That still does add heroes and villains to the play more. So I think it would be very interesting if you have, let's say, you know, and if this does happen, you could have a situation where, you know, we now have Tony getting older. We have, not Tony, really. We have Robert Downey Jr. getting older. So he kind of, you know, kind of leaves the suit and kind of goes into a more political stage. And I think that, like in the comics, where he didn't really leave the suit, but he was more political, that can really be how they kind of, you know, ruin their friendship, where maybe in every single movie, or in the ones that are more relevant to the Avengers, you have little scenes of him doing things that seem a bit off, you know, kind of against the team. And that could be a way to do it. I mean, what's nice is that you have someone like Loki, and I think in the fact they've kept him alive, that's smart, because you can actually have, even though it would be a terrible, it would be a terrible idea, and it's not that it'd be a terrible thing, but as an idea, you could easily have Loki working with Robert Downey Jr. But again, for the good, quote-unquote, you know, according to, what could Loki get from this? Turmoil, conflict, violence, they're all killing each other, perfect. So that's who I think they can, you know, because as you know, and as many of you know, you listeners know, from the comics there were a lot of villains that ended up working either with the Resistance or even with the good guys, quote-unquote, in my opinion, the good guys were the Resistance, but you could easily, you know, say that the good guys were the Tony's group, if you wanted to, and there were villains working there as well. You know, everyone had, I mean, but yes, there are a lot of, that's the problem with Civil War, honestly. Civil War is beautiful because of how it efficiently used everyone in the universe. Right now, Marvel, in my opinion, even though they're going galactic, they still only have a world.
Exactly.
They don't have a universe, you know, and that's why hopefully they're hoping to, you know, get enough money to really kind of shove money in Sony's face or something, because we've heard before, and I don't know if this is rumor or not, but we've heard before that Sony would have been okay with giving them the rights to Spider-Man for certain films. The key is Sony asked for a rather large amount of money.
It wasn't the money, actually. They pretty much, what had happened was they said, you can use Spider-Man in some of your films. The deal is he has to be made the main character and the other heroes the supporting cast.
Ah.
So in other words, there's a big invasion in Manhattan. Spidey goes in for the first 2 hours of the movie. The Avengers come in for 10 minutes.
So basically what they're saying is, can you make us a Spider-Man movie, please?
Exactly.
And it's like, but wait, what?
I mean, the Spider-Man franchise right now is, in my opinion, some pretty big trouble over at Sony.
Well, then hopefully that'll be the first to go. Apparently Deadpool's staying there, so... Although I will be honest with you, I don't want to see Deadpool in the Civil War.
Oh, definitely.
So it's okay to keep him over at Fox for now. But, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, with Sony and what's happening with them, you know, it's just... I mean, yeah, I would be nice if, you know, Spider-Man can come back or they can get lowballed, you know, because that's a really shitty deal, honestly.
Yeah.
That's like, I understand you wanting to make him a big character, but to say that he has to be the main character is saying, can you actually, with your money, make a movie for us and then have your characters be the side characters?
Exactly.
that just don't be jerks, Sony. Just say that you don't want the movie to be made. Like, you know what I want? If I was working with Marvel, I would have taken them up on it, and I would have wanted to see their reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know what? Fine, we'll do it.
I don't know where we go from here.
like we
just call the people
like,
back, Sony. We didn't think they'd say yes. What's our next move? What do we do?
They're just whispering to each other. Just
that's not even in the contract. We were just being assholes. What? I don't understand.
But yeah. So that's how I feel about the Avengers Civil War. And you feel a lot of good can happen. But I just don't think they have enough people to make it a big impactful. Like, honestly, I honestly think that the Avengers Civil War has a bigger impact than a Thanos attack.
Sorry.
So I believe that, you know, they could have easily made Thanos Rising, you know, or Thanos Rises, right, as that, you know, as one of those movies. You know, as the third Avengers movie. And then for the fourth, you know what I think they're worried about, honestly? I think they're just worried more about the fact that what if everyone leaves?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone meaning, like, Robert Downey Jr., you know, Chris Evans, you know. What if they just want to leave so fast that it's like, guys, could we just keep you for this movie, guys?
Well, that's pretty much the deal with Chris Evans, because he said once his contract is up, he's done. He's out of acting for a while.
Exactly. So, and that's the problem. And that's the problem with a few of them, I think. A few of them are, or at least seem to be a little bit, displeased with their work in these superhero films. You know, it's very interesting, especially with, can't believe her name is escaping me, but as Thor's girlfriend.
Oh, Natalie Portman.
Thank you. Yes, Natalie Portman. I can't believe her name. I lost it there for a second. But Natalie Portman said, I didn't like being in more than one Thor film. Listen, I know he's Thor, so he's not that popular.
Mm-hmm.
But just look on the internet for a second. Look at that history. Like, did you just think that? She's like, I thought I was just going to be Thor's girlfriend. I was going to appear in a movie, and then nothing else was ever going to happen. I mean, comic books are like, there aren't even that many of them. Like, what are you doing? You know?
I mean, but, even Hugo Weaving is a Red Skull. He came for one movie. He said he was done. He didn't want to do it again.
Yeah, and the problem too is that they're both Natalie Portman and Hugo Weaving are very are amazing at what they do. It's just you have to sit there and be like, what are you thinking here?
Exactly.
You know, like the Red Skull would be as if the Joker, like someone who played the Joker, said, "Listen, you know, I'm sorry, I'm never going to be the Joker ever again, no matter what you do." You know, it's like I know he fights Batman all the time. But I'm sorry, I just think that I don't really feel as if this is important enough. Like, well, like this is, the, you know what I mean? Like, that's who, you know, that's his Joker, you know, the Red Skull. It's like, that's, I understand you don't want to do more than one, obviously. You know, like I say, you wanted to try it, maybe you didn't like the experience. I haven't heard good things about being on the set of Marvel.
But
that still doesn't mean that it's just, like, it's just weird how, the thing is, he at least left. With Natalie Portman, it was confusing, where she was just like, it felt as if she literally thought, I just thought we were doing one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Thor 2, 3, and 7 came up from.
Definitely wasn't on the contract.
Right? Yeah. Just her sitting there. So, I mean, when do these comics even come out? Like, how many of them are there? How many of them am I Thor's girlfriend in?
Is there more than one Thor comic? I thought there was just one.
Yeah.
I thought she died.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. There's just, you know, that's what they might be trying to do, where they just want everyone to be there. Or if not, then, you know, Chris Evans will be dead. Not even the character. They'll just threaten his life. Like, you're staying for Civil War. No, but, I mean, that's, you know what, that could be a thing too, where, you know, if his character dies and then Bucky takes over, and then
I was actually going to say that. I feel like Civil War is just going to be the purge of all the original cast members, leading the way for all the new cast members to assume the mantles.
I hope not. Mm-hmm. I hope, because that would be silly, I think, where it's just everyone dies. No, I hope it's more of, you know, Chris Evans dies before that. Like, I hope, like, hell, I hope Civil War maybe even starts off with Chris Evans' death or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the movie kind of escalates into something more. It seems as if Tony isn't being as there as he should be. And then you have, you know, Winter Soldier kind of picking up the role of Captain America, as well as saying Steve wouldn't have wanted this, you know, this whole Registration Act kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I... So fair enough, but I would hate it if, like, Civil War just meant everyone died.
Everyone. Like, I mean, I could see Black Widow and Hawkeye surviving that. Even Tony, especially Tony. Hulk pretty much is going to be sent off planet. Cap, I can just see them killing off Cap, because I figured at some point he's going to go, because they brought in the Winter Soldier pretty fast.
Well, I think it's a good story, I think. I mean,
oh,
I
no,
people
definitely.
Were just,
I'm just saying, I thought that would have been maybe the third Cap movie.
Yeah. Fair enough. I just think that, you know, it's a what's the biggest problem, I think, is that, and because these are movies, it's a huge problem, because I'm a bigger fan of honestly adapting these into TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
I know what some people have said about, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but when you look at something like Arrow, you can see how if, you know, adapting to a TV, like if Arrow was just a movie, I'm not saying it would have bombed, but I'm saying that it would have been really hard to introduce a lot of supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you know, where it's just where with, you know, you look at like these kind of films, these Marvel films, and they're great. But if you were somehow able to put the money that's put into Arrow into some of these superhero shows,
mm-hmm.
that would have, you know, to make them to some of these movies, to translate them into shows, that would have been great. Because because again, you know, I'm not saying that Cap and everyone has such a large amount of villains, but there's a lot of different, you know, villains in the Marvel universe. So to say, like, oh, I thought they would have saved Bucky, it's like actually the contracts, because the movies are done every 2 years, you know. These people don't want to sit there for 30 years and realize that that's all they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even someone like you and I, who we love these heroes, we even love acting a bit, it would be pretty crazy if, not even a voice acting, just even in voice acting, to say, whenever they call me, and they say, hey, can you do a Joker impression of that Mark Hamill guy? And then I sit there and I go, no other work? You know, for 30 years? That's the thing. Think about that, right? Like, for that long? So I can see why, that's probably why they rushed it. They were just like, we want, like you said, where it's just, we you know, we need a good story, and we need one that can erase Cap if Chris Evans really does want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because for all we know, he can go, you know what, I like it. And then they won't erase Cap for, like, a movie or two.
Exactly.
We don't know. But, though I have to say, it really will look weird when Cap starts to get older. You know, when Chris Evans has gray hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. But, also, so let's move on. I mean, Inhumans is Inhumans. We don't have much to say yet. They're probably waiting for it to actually have steam in the comic book community. Kind of pick up some steam, look really good, and then they'll have more stories to translate over to movie format.
Absolutely.
Either that, or they get X-Men back, and then Inhumans is scrapped. And now it's Avengers versus X-Men. Mark my words. Yeah. So we have Deadpool test footage that came out. Hopefully you've seen it. It's on YouTube. And yeah, and Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Yeah, I mean, this footage is from 2012, though.
Yes,
so that's
yes.
the only thing worth noting, that they've just waited for the until, I guess you can say, Deadpool blew up even more than he originally was with the new game that came out last year, the new comic book series, all the miniseries, everything.
Right. Which is funny because, I don't know, like, maybe it's just me, but to say the words, I know you said, you know, he blew up more than he was before. Thank you. Because if you said that he blew up, I would have been like, because he's been really big.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm saying I don't get why they waited so long.
No, yeah.
I mean,
I would argue.
But...
No, I understand because, you know, it's a big Comic-Con, whatever. This is really was a loaded Comic-Con for, you know, for comics and stuff. But I just feel as if okay. Here's how to describe it. If anyone knows anything about professional wrestling, right, and if you don't, come on this journey with us for about a good minute or so. There are, you know, when a wrestler gets really popular, you look at people like Stone Cold, The Rock, you know, even if you look at someone like John Cena, right? When they get popular, you have to strike while the iron's hot, right? So thankfully, right, For the recent really popular guy, Daniel Bryan, we, the fans, spoke out so much, and they realized that he was so hot, so on fire, that they had to put the main title on him pretty much immediately. I mean, there was a big gap, but it was the gap because it was him, us really trying to get behind him and him, you know, climbing his way to really get that title at WrestleMania 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but for some people, though, in the wrestling business, yeah, they don't really give them the, you know, the time when they're really hot. And it's upsetting because, you know, you look at a guy like Cesaro, and if you don't, hey, you know, he's a good guy, all right? But, and he was really hot coming out of a feud, and he could have actually at least picked up, you know, one of the mid-card titles. So not the biggest title out there, but maybe something like the U.S. or the Intercontinental. And he could have ran with it and done a lot with it. But they didn't do that. They kind of, in a way, actually stopped his momentum, stopped his heat. Now he's kind of just lingering there, right? That is how I describe Deadpool right now, where it feels as if, for some reason, they were like, let's wait. And it's like, so wait, that's what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You want to wait on a guy? Because, like, we got to wait till he's more popular. It's like, he's really his game came out a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you want to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, imagine if a movie came out around the same time a game had come out around the same
time. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much going for, and then around the same time, because if you think about it, something really funny, if you want to think about this too, he just finished a series, what was it? What was the latest one? It was Deadpool Kills Himself, Deadpool.
The miniseries?
Yeah.
It was Deadpool versus Carnage.
Oh, right, that is the newest one. I'm sorry, I forgot that was so new. But before Deadpool, that thing, the newest one is Deadpool versus Carnage. Before that was Deadpool. Before that was Deadpool, you know, versus, you know, all of those the characters from the multiverse. And then before that was Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. Those, you're like, you're sitting there, you're like, oh, so when were those released? There was quite a gap between all of them.
Exactly.
This being test footage from 2012, I mean, maybe they didn't really have the money to work on anything with it, so it would have been like a tease and then nothing would have came from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really upsetting that they're not understanding, like, listen, you know, no matter when this is happening, 2012, 2013, 2014, he's very popular. Don't wait until he's not anymore.
Exactly.
Because there are already people that are sick and tired of him in the comic book world. You know, as a comic fans, you know, that are sick. So, get on that quick while the mainstream public still goes, Deadpool, funny guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, and of course we have some new DC books, which were Deathstroke, Gotham Academy, and Arkham Manor. Now, Arkham Manor is important. And why is that important, Anthony?
Because it's going to be part of the fallout of Batman Eternal, which I'm assuming is going to involve tie-ins.
Right. You said the magic word. But so, and we'll be talking about Batman Eternal today. And yeah, tie-ins, oh boy. And you know, Arkham Manor, oh boy. Because heaven forbid we get story here. Right? I just have the strangest feeling that they'll just leave a loose end and it'll be finished up in Arkham Manor. I don't know why.
They probably will.
Where it's just, so in other words, we might be having this Deacon Blackfire thing happen until issue 49, issue 50.
Oh, God.
The entire world is destroyed around them, other than Arkham. I'm so sorry. I think I heard him. I'm so sorry. Okay, but it's okay.
No.
Because now we're actually talking about our issues. We're moving on, right? We're going to the meat and potatoes here. And, by the way, if anyone wants to call in, you know, talk about whatever issue we're talking about, definitely call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. Now, what are we talking about first? We're talking about Outcast number 2. So, what did you think about Outcast?
Here's the thing. I really liked it a lot. But it's one of those issues where if you're familiar, if you read The Walking Dead, or pretty much any comic book really, but The Walking Dead I feel more so, it's a filler without being a total filler. Basically,
right.
You're getting the story. You're just not getting right into the action, all of the main events. It's building up to something. But I feel it's doing it in a way better than most superhero comics do, in my opinion.
Yes. I mean, there was... I think that... yeah, because last month we had Ghost Rider number 4 being a, you know, one of those kind of issues, and it really lacked because of it. And I will admit, Outcast does as well, but it isn't. It definitely is not the worst comic this week,
absolutely,
which is
not
how amazing Outcast is. I mean, strangely enough, Ghost Rider number 5 took the top place for me, which is weird because of how it was last month. But Outcast number 2, definitely not the worst this week. Definitely not the worst this month, I would say. You know, compared to how it was last month, where last month we were just like, oh, number one. Now, it's not number one, but being number two really isn't that bad. I mean, because, yeah, it was a slow issue, you know? Mm. And I was thinking, honestly, if this slow pace continues, then I don't know. But honestly, it picked up without actually having anything crazy happen.
Exactly.
Which is amazing. How we can just pick up, but no one's actually getting exercised or anything, you know, and they left you with this sense of you really want to know what's happening next issue. You know, it's like, I don't know everything that's going on, and I'm sure you don't either, but it's good when that happens with a new series.
Exactly.
You know, where with something like Eternal, let's say, yeah, it's a new series, but it's still Batman in an established universe, and Batman Eternal comes out weekly. But Outcast doing this on a monthly basis, I can take.
Yeah.
Right. And, but yeah, how do you feel?
I completely agree. And, I mean, one of the best things about it is it leaves you wanting to know so much about a new character introduced into the series. I don't think they gave his name yet, so I'm calling him Creepy White Fedora Guy. And I'm dying to know
Esquire.
Who this guy is. I'm sorry?
Esquire.
Yes, Esquire. And I'm curious to know exactly who he is and what role he plays with the main character's mom, because that was hinted upon as well.
Yes, I think that was the best way to leave it, where she's, you know, her one tier, and then he's clearly somehow tied up in this demon nonsense. You know, he might even be a demon himself. It's very interesting to see where we're going here. And, again, I'm fully happy to go on for the ride, but, you know, because it's, yeah, you don't know what's happening. But again, new series, new universe, I like that.
Exactly.
You know, now we turn over to Batman Eternal number 17, and I don't really like that. You know, because it's just, first off, I don't know, I did not enjoy what they did with Deacon Blackfire at all. Because at first I thought I was being that comic book fan that just nitpicks everything. I thought that's who I was. And I felt bad for it, but I was doing it. I was like, oh, you know, now he's just changed to being a deacon who's normal, who's kind of over, who just died randomly, and now he's... And then we started to get through the actual issue, and then I start to change. I start going, oh, wait, no! He captured Batman! We're okay here! We did good! Right? Then the worst thing in the world happened, and I'm sorry, I consider it the worst thing in the world that really makes this possibly my worst issue this week, because of the fact that, here's the thing, right, you might think it's small to focus on, everyone, but the problem is Deacon Blackfire broke Batman in the cult. Now, I was confused when I first read this and I saw it happen in the cult, but the fact that it happened, just, you know, it should show you how damn good the Deacon is, and why this guy coming back is a threat. Right? I know he's currently summoning demonic monsters from hell. Right? Right? So you're like, oh, that's the threat. No. I mean, anyone can do that. That's a sad thing to say. We're in the DC universe. That's irrelevant. What matters is the fact that he broke Batman, and Batman had a hard time coming back. Right?
Definitely.
That's what mattered. Except that, no, that's not what happened here. Actually, Batman somehow broke out of the chains, was immediately fine, and then got everyone to turn on the Deacon, and now the Deacon's dead, which, by the way, makes it seem like Batman was perfectly fine with them murdering him?
Yeah, I caught that, too.
Which is even worse, by the way. So now you're fucking up Batman. Because you could say, oh, Batman was, you know, because they didn't even They could have at least done something where it's like, you know, maybe Batman's woozy on the floor. Batman stood up like a bamf. Just stood up and said, damn, my wrist hurt. That's what he did. Like, that's all. Like, what? He didn't
you. I've been drugged with food and water, but I can break this pipe in 2 seconds and I'll be fine.
No, it was pure bat god at work, and it really upset me.
Mm-hmm.
It made me furious because the thing is now I'm sitting here and thinking, you know, let's say someone really is reading Eternal and, you know, like they're not really that into the Batman universe. Maybe they are and they just never read The Cult because I don't know how popular The Cult was. Maybe it has a cult following. But you know, but I've never read it, but I heard great things. So I picked it up and I went, damn. So now it just makes you think, why is this guy important? You know, this guy is just some wimpy dude who went out to try and be a preacher and then got beaten up by his followers when he didn't deliver and was murdered because of it.
Exactly.
And why is he important right now? And it sucks because it felt as if they were trying to do that. Because at first I thought, oh, they're changing him. Then I thought, oh, they're trying to introduce him to people who don't know him. That's a good thing to do. I like when DC does that to a certain extent, especially with it was the new art style. It was really cool. And then, nope. Just Batman wins again because he's Batman. So it felt as if, you know, Snyder just thought, wait a minute. You know, I didn't like the way The Cult ended. Or rather, you know, the first issue of The Cult, because it was a 4-issue.
Well, I actually must correct you. It was not Snyder, this issue.
Thank you. I had a feeling it wasn't, but I was going to go out on a limb anyway. So then who wrote this issue?
I'm pretty sure it was Ray Fox, but I'm going to double check right now.
Thank you. The point is that whoever wrote this issue, and of course, I'm assuming they go through Snyder, though, yes?
I think I would imagine he laid the groundwork, but I don't think he has total control over all the subplots.
That's very upsetting, then.
Here we
it's
go.
It's only because no matter what,
you're
dealing with Batman.
Here we go. The script was written by Ray Fox, and the consulting writers for this issue were John Layman and Tim Seeley.
Right. So the point is that clearly they didn't care. You know, they didn't like, they were just like, oh, well, wait a minute, but he's Batman. He can't be, like, it feels as if, okay, this is why, you know, I have ideas of going into the Marvel Universe and, like, you know, and, like, not into the actual universe. It can't actually happen. Multiverses, hope that maybe they exist. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they don't. I mean, actually becoming a writer for the Marvel, you know, and just draw, and, you know, and writing Spider-Man comics. About how, you know, Spider-Man's the exact way that I want him to be. And he's not any other way. Because that's what it is now. Fans are coming in.
I love how your voice went all J. Jonah Jameson there.
What?
I love how your voice went all J. Jonah Jameson there.
I'm so sorry. I didn't even mean, damn it. That man is Spider-Man! But I didn't mean to. But anyway, yeah, because that's what it's becoming now. It's becoming, and of course, it's in a way, it's always been that way. Where, you know, I mean, Bob Kane didn't even do a lot of his Batman work, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, for a while it's been other people doing the work, but it just feels as if now it's just I'm going to write Batman the way I want to write him. So it's like, but wait, Batman really went through an existential crisis there, and he actually broke down, and he really like kind of his ideals, you know, and his morale just kind of no, but he's Batman. So it was perfect, you know? It's like, it's just, it feels as if it's, like, it's kind of, you know, people have always yelled at me when I've said this, but it really feels as if it's getting into fan fiction territory now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, you know, it's like just the fans who are, yes, sanctioned by DC and Marvel, but they're coming in, they're just like, you know, look, I know it's a different universe, okay? But you're keeping a lot the same.
Yeah.
Why couldn't this be just the one thing? You know, why do we have to rewrite Deacon Blackfire as a guy who's now not a threat and then make Batman look so good in the process? Like, look, The Cult was amazing because Batman was a human being.
Exactly.
You know, I will admit, yes, I'd understand if they wanted to admit the fact that the entirety of Gotham, you know, kind of like died. You know, I understand that if you want to omit that from your, you know, from your summary retelling, fine. But the fact that Batman was just A-OK and let people murder the Deacon, I'm not fine with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem so fine. And, yeah, and it's, I know it sounds like I'm probably, you know, blowing it out of proportion, but it's just upsetting how it just really feels as if, you know, it's just like, actually, Batman is quite superhuman. Like, his super strength is his will. Fair enough. But, damn it, he was drugged for weeks.
Exactly.
And he was tested, you know. I mean, again, you don't have to go that crazy. You don't have to, like, I didn't expect them in the retelling to have the Deacon, you know, bring him onto all of the different, you know, whatever or whatever. But at least, you know, skip to certain parts. But it just seemed as if it was just one, like, it seems as if this wasn't even Batman's whole night in the flashback. Where it's just like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, fair enough. He was drugged for 7 days. So, yeah, it was a week for him. But, you know, shut up. But what I mean is just dealing with Deacon. That was like, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, honestly, like, and then the rest just felt fillerish. The rest of the story felt fillerish because, you know, we have Red Robin. Honestly, I did enjoy Red Robin. Sorry. It does kind of continue a different subplot that isn't just Batman. And
yeah.
I am excited to see Croc next issue. I really am. But
yeah,
I hope it ends the Blackfire arc. Like, if this goes on for 2 weeks, okay. But if this goes on for another month or two, I'm sorry, after something like this and then trying to make Deacon Blackfire still seem like a threat and everything and focus just on him, that's going to make people want to leave.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some people have dropped off after this issue going, really? So you guys just turned one of the coolest villains ever into this?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. But yeah. So anything you want to say about this issue before we move on?
You pretty much summed it up. I mean, it was interesting because at first I liked the issue. I thought it was actually pretty good, but then it's like when I went back, I reread it, I was like, well, they kind of just destroyed Blackfire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm reading this, I'm like, this can't be meant to replace what happened in the cult, right? Maybe this is just before or after, but no, it's pretty clear that it's going to replace the cult. And it just sucks, because when you hear about Batman, and you tell someone on the street about Batman, and you say Deacon Blackfire, and this person's ever heard Batman, they're going to have no freaking idea what you're talking about. So they're going to go home, they're going to look up Deacon Blackfire, and if this was a few years ago, they'd find the cult. If this was now, they may find this as their first exposure, and they're going to think, what the hell is this? This isn't a cool villain. And it may just turn them off.
Yeah. And that's really bad, because it's just, you know, it's just, and it's one of those, you know how I have to describe Batman now? Batman is John Cena. And I hate to do this. I really hate to do this. But the point is that Batman did not need this win. You know? Deacon Blackfire, the guy some people have barely ever heard of, needed this more than Batman did. I'm sorry, but Deacon Blackfire needed this. All right, Deacon Blackfire is now Bray Wyatt. Deacon Blackfire needed this. If you don't understand what I'm talking about right now, person listening, talk to a wrestling fan. On the internet, possibly. We're all over. And you'll understand everything when someone explains it to you. Sadly, I can't get that into it right now. But yeah, John Cena, the man at the top, the man who always wins everything, right? Yeah, Batman didn't need to just have history rewritten and just be like, actually, Batman never suffers losses. It's like, I mean, even in the cult, Batman won in the end. A lot of crazy shit happened, but Batman won in the end.
Exactly.
And that's what mattered. But anyway, now we move on. We move forward to something that wasn't as bad as Batman Eternal. Justice League number 30.
32.
Oh, right, 32. What's funny is that I have 32, obviously, you know, on the website promoting the episode, yet for some reason 30 is right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I don't know why my notes lied to me.
Huh.
Maybe I've been bad to my notes recently. I'm sorry. But anyway, what did you think about Justice League number 32?
Well, I definitely think it wins the most deceiving cover award. Because
yeah, right?
We did not get anything that was on the cover.
I would not be surprised if someone at DC fucked the cover up.
Pretty much. It's like Lex Luthor knows one secret. What will he do to learn them all? opened the book. Hi, we're not the Justice League at all. We're a whole new team, and you're going to learn about us today. It's like, what?
Okay.
What the hell happened? Sure, Luthor was in there for like 4 pages, and then he appeared again for the final page, but nothing happened with him, really.
Yeah, that's why I truly believe someone messed up the cover. Also, I would like, check this up while we're talking if you can. I want you to see if Justice League has actually gone down via sales. And I'm asking you that if only because of the fact that obviously this is delayed to hell because of what happened with Forever Evil. Yet for some reason, they haven't been able to take the time to do something proactive and release 2 in a month or something.
Exactly.
And this is a huge issue because if you're reading, see, the thing is that the only way for DC to assume that everything is okay, it's as if they have to undermine their own product, where it's like, you know, oh no, you probably only read Justice League. You know, no, you have to assume that your fans are busy bees, right? And they're good, and they're good little hive workers who are purchasing, you know, Justice League, the new Robin Rises, you know, Batman Eternal, all these things that, you know, Superman Doomed, all these things where not only is Luthor already in the league, that's confirmed, so is Captain Cold.
Exactly.
So why, like, I wouldn't be surprised if sales are going down either to TPB it, if someone, some poor soul thinks, maybe they'll release a TPB this century, or just for people to just snatch up the issues on a later date, because they don't care. Because how can you care? How can you get invested when you already know the outcome? You know, and it's just, and we've talked about this before, maybe they're assuming that one day it won't matter. Yeah, one day it won't matter, but right now it really matters. Where, why do I need to read your Justice League for right now? Where because I already know where it's going.
Exactly.
And, I mean, yes, the Doom Patrol was really nice, but honestly, it's just, I mean, you gotta, like, if, we've discussed this before, if you aren't going to make them to a month, cut some things out. With the way they just introduced the Doom Patrol and the fact that they're trying to do something and Luthor is trying to attack them, I'm pretty sure that this wasn't cut. Like, I'm pretty sure there wasn't other material. This is the material, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, no, we had to cut out so much other material. Here's Doom Patrol. No. You planned this
exactly.
to be like a filler issue. Where it's like you don't, you know, a filler issue to help you, you know, show why a fight between Chief and Lex will mean something. But you didn't need a filler issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you had that cover. That should actually be illegal. I know it sounds silly. That should actually be illegal.
Yeah,
like
I can see that.
Like, courts should be like, that's actually, you know, it's like saying to someone, even though it's the exact opposite, it's nothing as serious as this, I'm so sorry. It's like saying to someone, you know, oh, here's your meal, and they're like, it's vegetarian, right? And the restaurant says, of course, sir. And as they walk away, the waiter's just like, filled with all the beef you can take, you hippie fuck. Right? Like, wait a minute, like, you know, we're ordering something from you, you know, we're getting something from you, how about you don't lie to us?
Exactly.
I mean,
also, I would like to just real quick, in May, Justice League was the 7th best-selling comic book title, selling 77,456 copies in North America.
Right.
And in June, it was the 8th, selling 75,803 copies.
Okay.
So
all
it
right.
wasn't that big of a drop.
No, not that big of a drop just yet. Sadly, we don't know about June yet, do we?
No, that was June.
July is what I meant.
Yeah,
so
July.
We don't know about
not,
July just yet.
Not yet.
All right. So I'm wondering, though, how big of it. What's sad, though, you see, this is what really gets me, is because here's the thing, by the way. I'm not saying that it's always going to be, you know, it's always a lie. You don't know. If you're going to promote, like, let's say in the end of your issue, right, they're like, next week, Croc Attack, you know, for Eternal, and maybe we don't get Croc for the entire issue. I wouldn't consider it a lie completely because, you know, that I understand.
Mm-hmm.
The problem would be if next week has Croc on the cover, and we see Croc for 4 pages, and he literally does nothing.
Yeah.
Or, and technically he's doing something, but we already know where it's going, so it doesn't matter. So that's what I'm saying, where it's just, it's, you know, it's just, I don't understand why they would, you know, so that's the thing. So, yeah, it's probably actually going to rise. It might even rise. Instead of being 9 or 10, which is where it should be, they'll look at Luther on the cover and they'll, it might even skyrocket to 6.
Exactly.
And that's what's worse about it, because it's just, it's going to skyrocket. Here's the thing, right? It's going to skyrocket to 6. Great job, DC. You're going to love it when the next month it's going to go down to 11.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love that. Oh, it's going to be wonderful for you. You hate them so much right now. But it sucks because I don't want to hate them because this issue wasn't even the worst thing in the world. I enjoy the Doom Patrol, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do enjoy the Doom Patrol. And, you know, and as I said, you know, there's, I mean, there was some stuff in here that was nice, but obviously, you know, it's, you know where it's going. It's just this misleading cover is just angering because it just, it feels as if, you know, like, imagine, right? Imagine if, you know, someone was just like, hey, look, so-and-so is on the cover of this movie. You know? Hey, look, Robert Downey Jr. is on the cover. Like, he's the front guy. So he's going to be big in this movie. No, it's a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry you paid money to see it. Even if it's just like, well, I paid money at the Red Box. Even if it's like a dollar, you know, you still paid money to see something that wasn't even featured there. When it's on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
I know superhero comics have been doing this for a while, on and off, but it's just, ugh.
Exactly.
It's just so angering. It's just so angering when I actually thought they were taking the advice, you know, the advice of, you know, just, oh, let's cut out filler shit because we got to get to the, you know, to the meat and potatoes. I mean, we're, you know, what, like, they're probably, what were they, like, how many months behind were they with Forever Evil? 2 or 3, or?
I feel like it was, I'm pretty sure it was, like, 2 months, actually.
Okay, so it's only, it's funny because it's only 2 months for some, but, you know, it's bad when everything else in the universe right now is 2 months ahead, other than Justice League. It's like we're actually, I feel like we're in the TARDIS right now. We're able to see into the past. But sadly, like with the third Doctor, we're stuck there. We're stuck in the 70s on Earth, and we have no way to get back. But hey, let's move on to something that doesn't involve us being angry. Strangely. This didn't anger me. Hawkeye number 19.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't anger me.
Yeah.
How did you feel? Like, I wasn't actually, I wasn't, you know, yeah.
I liked it. I mean, there's been a big delay between this and the last issue, which we spoke about.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That would be my only complaint with this issue, is that it was about maybe 2 months or so, maybe a little less, a month and a half, of a delay between this issue, issue 18, and then the same, almost the same amount of time, a delay between the last issue and the issue before that. So,
what if it's not a delay? What if that's just their time frame now?
When
it's a pattern, it seems like it's a pattern.
Well, the thing is, it was only 2 issues. Before that, they were pretty much on schedule.
Fair enough.
And they've even said for between 17 and 18, it's a delay.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But,
and it's like, it's not that big of an issue if the story was linear, but if you've read Hawkeye, you know that the issues jump around a lot between Kate and Clint. So when you factor that in, it can get a little confusing. So,
it can.
Yeah, I mean, so you're going to want to maybe brush up on some of the previous issues, but I like this issue a lot. Try to learn sign language fast, because you're going to need that for a few pages.
That was one of my only problems. Honestly, I mean, I don't know, I like it. I mean, I think some people do ask for change. I know a lot of people just like things to stay static and the same, but some people do ask for change, and I have to say, you know, that message did not fall on deaf ears.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It was a very heavy-handed pun.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. No, so yeah, if you don't know, Hawkeye is deaf.
Yeah.
No, let's explain here. We're not saying it's going to be a female, like Thor. No. It's not like it's just a deaf Hawkeye just appearing.
Like he's not unworthy of hearing.
Yeah, right? He's not unworthy of hearing. Nor is he just so old that he can't hear anymore. No, he's actually, you know, he got shot in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And they got shot in the head, thought he left them for dead. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. And now he's deaf. Oh, like, geez, like, that's some heavy stuff that's really hard to deal with. And, you know, it's one of those nice changes, like with Daredevil, where, you know, with the, what's going on with him and Foggy. It's just, you know, nice changes.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue I think that I have with it is, well, two things. First off, as you mentioned, if this is going to be a huge thing where in his solo series there's going to be a lot of sign language and not a lot of words, that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
For me. Two, maybe, okay, first off, I don't know, maybe it's just me, right? Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, when you're with comic books for so long, you just always expect everyone to get better, so it's really hard to appreciate the journey that you're on with them now.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. Where I just, I mean, I feel as if he's going to be better in 1 to 2 years.
Oh, easily.
Now, that doesn't mean that I want to stop reading, but
well,
it's just...
that's a problem because the series is actually ending soon.
Right, which makes me wonder, maybe they're just going to start up a new series, a new solo series like they did with Daredevil. Mm-hmm. However, because of these delays, it makes me think maybe they're going to can either the writer or the artist.
Yeah.
Or someone, whoever it was. Heck, if it's neither of them, that would be nice. If it was just an editor, that would be... I say just because the art and the writing, in my opinion, really do make this series.
Absolutely.
So it would be upsetting if one, if or not both of them had to go. Because if they both had to go... right? Or even if it was, I will admit, even the art, no, if both of them had to go, I wouldn't read the new solo.
Mm-hmm.
I had to say. If maybe just the artist left, I'd be okay. But even if the, because I do like, I do admit, the art's an amazing part of this series, but so is the writing.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, though, if the writer leaves, even though the art would stay the same for the new series, I don't think I'd be sold. Unless
same.
That writer, unless maybe, and I'll say this much, that writer was the same writer from Avenging Spider-Man, you know, a really good kind of person with, you know, comedy and stuff like that, because Hawkeye needs that comedy, at least right now it does, because
mm-hmm.
that's what's really gotten me invested in Hawkeye, and in some of the other Marvel, you know, heroes stories right now, where it's like, you know, you look at Hawkeye, you look at Silver Surfer, there's a few more that I sadly can't think of right now, but a lot of the Marvel, well, even Guardians and stuff, a lot of the Marvel stuff that I'm into right now, comic book format, they've been pretty, I mean, I'm not caught up with Guardians completely. So if it turns any turn for the worse, it's like, whoops, sorry. But from what I've been reading with Nova and with, you know, even with Ghost Rider here and there, there's a comedy to it that I really enjoy, same with Spider-Man. So I enjoy that. Of course, there's going to be some heavy moments, but I enjoy the comedy. And that's something that, you know, really has helped me enjoy Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can, if maybe the writer leaves, they can get someone funny, but hopefully it's not the writer or the artist that they need to kick out. Because I assume it's being canceled because someone is causing these delays.
Yeah, I would assume, I mean, the thing is, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm almost positive the writer is also writing the new event, Original Sin.
Ah.
I'm not too sure on that, but I have a feeling he might be.
Right. So, yeah, they could easily be waiting for Original Sin to finish and then start up a new Hawkeye series.
Exactly.
Called Hawkeye. Dude, Hawkeye, dude. And, yeah, and he can go around being Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everything will be fine. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I will admit, I'll say this much. It was an interesting choice for him to be deaf. Because I have to say, like, I would have guessed death before death, honestly.
Yeah, I would have too, actually.
Yeah, I thought he died there, and I thought his funeral was going to be next issue.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he didn't. You know, we have, and also I have to say the direction that they're going with the whole, you know, Kate and him being in separate places and them jumping between both, it's actually a great concept. You know, I like seeing that happen. Of course, as you said, it's silly when there's these delays, which really kind of mess up the flow.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do enjoy the fact that, I mean, they're doing that because it is kind of risky, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but I will say it's making me really enjoy Kate's story. Somehow I'm actually enjoying Kate's stories more than Hawkeye's.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, I think they're just better together.
Mm-hmm.
No shipping. They're actually better just as a unit rather than being, pulled apart. I'm still wondering how old Kate is, though. How old Marvel wants Kate to be. But whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
that's
yes.
About this book, I think the supporting characters really make it. I mean, there's so many supporting characters, like the new mime assassin guy.
Yes.
I like that character a lot. I know nothing about him, but I like him a lot.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of good in this series. So that's another thing that's really upsetting about it leaving, about it going. So I hope it's not going. You know, I hope it's just a Daredevil situation where it's just, you know, where for some reason they just thought, let's reboot it. But the same people are all, let's just reboot the he's going to be somewhere else. So maybe that's what they're doing. Where with Hawkeye, it's like, oh, he's going to be deaf now. Let's reboot it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could say also, I think it's also, if you've noticed, once, you know, for some reason now, Marvel's not a big fan of things getting into high numbers.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason now. I think it's because they just want it to seem more accessible. The problem is that by the time we hit 2020, we're going to have, like, Hawkeye V10.
Exactly.
You know? And it's like, here's 10 volumes, you know, because, and of course, if you don't know, for some of you listening out there, you know, every single, there's issues, yes, but when you kind of combine them, you know, into trade paperbacks and stuff, you don't call them volumes like you would manga. So volume really stands for that run of that character.
Mm-hmm.
So someone like Thor, he might only have, like, you know, let's say, like, 5 volumes, right? Because he's really only had, like, a few major runs. But after a while, if you keep on giving some of these characters only 20-issue, 25-issue, you know, runs, and then you keep them coming back still, like, you're not even canceling. Like, you look at Gambit, and you're happy he got canceled because you're like, okay, yeah, Gambit got canceled because it wasn't the best book. It kind of got a little weird at the end. And, yeah, we canceled it, and either he's not being canceled just to come back again.
Exactly.
You know, especially so soon, because I assume they're canceling him only to be deaf. You know, that's probably all they're doing. Where now they're going to promote it. It's like the new Hawkeye series. And, you know, and he's Daniel. And then they promote, oh, yeah, and he's, you know, he's a deaf superhero, and da-da-da, and da-da-da. And then that's all they're doing. Where it's like the first 20, you can still read the first 20 if you want, but if you want to jump on here and just know that he's deaf, you can do, because it makes, because people will think, oh, I want to jump on issue 1, not I want to jump on issue 21.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. By the time 2020 comes around, we'll be having Hawkeye V15, issue number 3. And they'll think, is that? I think that's too much. And then they'll stop it by issue 4. Their first TPB will be their last for that run of Hawkeye.
Exactly.
Yep. And now we move on to both of our best issues of the day, of the week. All new Ghost Rider number 5. That was a very interesting choice.
Yeah.
Really surprised that this happened.
Definitely.
But it did.
I
did not either. But it did.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just, yeah. I mean, it's like weird. I had mixed feelings for a lot of things this week. You know, I liked Outcast as second. But, you know, I still had mixed feelings about certain, you know, a lot of these issues this week. But Ghost Rider, I just loved it. It was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. There was nothing to say, oh, this is bad, this is good. No, it's just, it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what was your favorite part of this issue?
It's going to sound weird because it had nothing to, well, not nothing, but it wasn't anything around the main fight between him and Dr. Zabo. But I actually just loved, after the fight was over, kind of like the epilogue, I guess you could say, when Robbie Reyes as Ghost Rider shows up in the hideout of those, his classmates. And
right.
All of a sudden, the candle goes out, it's pitch black, and he just appears. And they were saying, you were awesome. Then they said, he looks at his brother's wheelchair, which they stole. Yeah. And the way they just, like, kind of say, we just took that from some kid laughing about his comics. They were making fun of the kid. And there's no expression in a skull. But the art just makes this book to the point where you can tell he wants to kill them all.
Oh, yeah.
And that scene was just so well done, in my opinion.
I mean, and what's great is that if you noticed, it ended this arc completely.
Mm-hmm.
So now you wonder, well, what's next? Because, you know, it seems like he's conquered the thing inside him. The thing inside me! You know, he's conquered that, and now he's a hero. But, you know, he did beat up or possibly kill these guys for the wheelchair.
Yeah.
So, you know, where's it going next? I mean, that's the thing, too, where it's just, now you wonder, is he going to, you know, be noticed by more of the larger superhero community? Apparently Ghost Rider isn't. Apparently no one knows who the fuck Ghost Rider is. Okay. The guy with a flaming skull on the news, but whatever. But, yeah, so I'm wondering, are people going to notice, shit, there's a new Ghost Rider?
Exactly.
And that's what's cool about it. Where I know he wanted to make this his own thing, the writer, but still, now, after doing your little mini, not mini, but your little arc in this, in his neighborhood, how is it going to expand? Like, you look at Nova, and Nova was its own thing for a bit, but then it expanded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying it's the best thing in the world to do that, but it's clearly going to happen. I mean, you can't live in a world of superheroes and have, because this is not going to be a miniseries. There's obviously solicits for number 6, so it's happening.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, you can't just have a, you know, him be a superhero for more than 12 issues, I would say, or even more than, you know, 8 or 10 or something, and have them just be like, yep, whatever. You know, like, there's no reports of this motherfucker going around. No one in the Avengers is like, wait a minute, this is some crazy shit.
Yeah, and there's definitely, they planted the seeds for a lot of future stories, mainly in the fight between him and Dr. Zabo, when Dr. Zabo grabs him and says, you're not him, you're not the Ghost Rider. And
exactly.
Even the spirit inside of him says, I have no idea what he's talking about, but I don't want it again. So it's like, well, that's a lot of stuff we got to explore, isn't it, guys?
Exactly.
So,
it's good stuff right there.
I'm glad they're charting some territory to go in.
They really are, you know, because now it can become a thing where if he's not going to be a part of the large extended universe, he can still be a part of the Ghost Rider extended universe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice, you know. This is where it can kind of lead into. Also, I would like to add, fucking portals in his trunk.
I know.
I want to put that out there. There were portals to other parts of the dimension in his trunk. This motherfucker.
Like, just how the hell? Like, he just popped his brother through the trunk.
His brother's sitting in ooze.
Brother shows
like,
up in the garage, and he's totally fine with it.
Brother was happy. I was just so nervous. I was like, your brother's being swallowed up by the darkness. Your brother Sora. Your brother's to Kingdom Hearts. Ah, when you walk away. Ah! Like, I'm just sitting here, and I'm just like, and then he's just fine. And then later on, he puts the wheelchair in there, and I'm like, it comes out a Ghost Rider wheelchair.
It's just great, because I'm actually looking back at the panel when he puts the brother in there, and as the brother's going down, he's giving the thumbs up and smiling.
Yeah, he's so happy, he's like, you know, it's like, dude, that's not a pool in the trunk, that's darkness. Like, oh my god, but, yeah, like, that was crazy. Also,
mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, I don't know about you, but when I saw, something I want to note about Grumpy, right,
mm-hmm.
when I first saw him in the issue, and he appeared, and he was, you know, destroying everything. I was like, damn, he's huge. But I thought about it, and I went, nope, not as big as Hulk Hogan. Not in Hulk Hogan's prime, you know? Even later, when we saw Mr. Hyde, it was like, or, you know, Dr. Zabo, it was just like, nope, Hulk is slightly bigger. You know? Hogan is only slightly bigger.
He's got forearms. Hulk Hogan can take him.
Exactly, right? And then Hyde took the pills. And I thought he was bigger than Hulk Hogan. Like, I really did. But I went online to look, and I was like, oh, wait, nope. In fact, Hulk Hogan was bigger. Go figure.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Hulk Hogan's a pretty big guy in his prime. Can take on both Grumpy and Dr. Zabo immediately, you know?
Let me tell you something, Dr. Hyde, brother. Let me tell you something, Grumpy Jack. What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
I'm the Ghost Rider. What you gonna do, Ghost Rider, brother, brother, brother?
I don't know about you, but I smell a million-dollar crossover happening.
Hulk Hogan and Nicolas Cage. Buddy Rider cops.
Just, there's a thing that's inside me, Hulk, and it's inside me, and it's a thing. Well, let me tell you something, Nicolas Cage Rider Jack, brother. Oh, my God.
What's sad is I really get worried about stuff like that sometimes. Like,
I mean, I think there's cause for concern considering WWE is a comic now.
Because WWE is a comic, and they have their film industry, which they haven't really put a lot of their wrestlers in recently. They've been making some interesting films, like Oculus and stuff like that. But it's just very scary. I mean, I don't know if you heard the rumors about Sheamus. Sheamus, if anyone doesn't know, being a very Irish fella. He says fella. He's very Irish. There's rumors about him being in Star Wars.
Really?
About him being in the Vader suit. Because, swear
I'm
to
sorry?
God, In promotional things with the WWE, he's been Vader before. He's been Darth Vader before. Sorry, WWE Vader clicked into WCW Vader. It's Vader time, you know? No, he's been in the Vader, Darth Vader costume before.
Well, then.
For promotional work. So people were, it started off as a joke, you thought. Because you're like, oh, God, the whitest man in the world is Darth Vader, right? You're like, oh, dear. Mm-hmm. You know, like they'll take off the costume and it'll be him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because of the first one. But then, because he wasn't on TV for a few weeks. And what they did was, someone asked him, just like, oh, you're gonna be Darth Vader? And he was, and I forgot what he said, but he didn't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is scary, because he hasn't been on TV. They said it was the flu. He was recovering from the flu, but he was in Florida. Now he's vacationing in Ireland. And we're sitting here like, are you in the Darth Vader movie, sir? You're not answering, sir. But the point being is that, yeah, I'm really worried about the potential of just like, you know, of just, what is it? Just, you know, just Iron Man, just, I can't see this man on my sensors. You can't see me!
Oh, God.
Yeah, just Hulk Hogan. Not Hulk Hogan, the actual Incredible Hulk. Just, you know, just Hulk think. It doesn't matter what you think. Hulk sad. You know, I'm really worried with what's happening here with WWE films, and especially with the fact that, you know, I mean, Marvel is quote-unquote for kids. You know, Disney is quote-unquote for kids. WWE, you know, wrestling is quote-unquote for kids. What are they going to do to hurt all of us? Like, what is it? You know, it's like Hulk Hogan and Mickey Mouse
and Thor. Oh, what the hell is going on here?
Are coming to you, brother. But we're at the end of our show relatively early.
Huh.
We really are.
Really quickly, one more thing to add to Ghost Rider.
Please.
And I've actually just noticed this. It's
yes.
That if you look at Robbie's face throughout all the issues, starting at the first issue till now,
he's smiling.
You notice, what?
He's smiling.
Well, fair enough. But one thing you will notice is that
right. His
face is merging with Eli's. Like, at first, I thought it was like lighting or something, but you can see that in, I think it was issue 2 or 3, they said.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So I was confused. For some reason, my head made me think that Robbie was another character because things happened. I'm sorry. I was thinking that Robbie was his brother for some reason.
Oh, okay.
That's why you're like,
first,
wait, what? You're just like, wait,
yeah.
I'm confused. No, I thought you were talking about his little brother. Because his little brother is always smiling.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm sorry.
Eating ice cream, traveling with demons. He's having a good time. But
yeah, right?
The thing with Robbie's face is, like, if you notice, I thought it was light lighting, but even in issue 2, they reference that he has a new scar, and he had no idea how it got there. And every issue, there's a new scar on his head, but then when you put his head, I know I'm going, like, out of the world nerd here, but when you put his head next to Eli's skull, all of his scars match the indentations of Eli's skull.
I can see that, actually. I'm looking through the issue right now. That's a very interesting catch, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
San Andreas.
Why, thank you, Mr. Marrero.
Yeah, no, because it does look like, yeah, it looks like they were trying to draw it as a trick of the light, but it could easily be a thing where it's just he's morphing into the Ghost Rider.
Because every panel, it's the exact same spot, too.
It is. No, I'm looking at it right now when he's in the car with his younger brother, and you can see that it looks like white face paint is on his... But no, that is very interesting, I would say. And yeah, that's another story they could, you know, discuss in the future.
Exactly.
Where it's just you're merging with me. Just, it's like, oh no, who do I call? It's like, you know, just, excuse me, Nicolas Cage, how did you deal with this? Oh, I just undersold the whole thing. I didn't care anymore. It left. You know, either that or I got really energetic and I got nervous.
Stick your head in a cage full of bees, you'll be fine.
Exactly. Just, you know, it's just, what is it? Just, I am the Ghost Rider and I've come for Nicolas Cage. Well, you know what? I've come for you! How does it feel when someone wants the Ghost Rider inside them and in me and inside me? Listen, dude, I don't want any trouble. No, come here, Ghost Rider, man. Get inside the cage. Just, You know what? I'm going to go. I have Hispanic kids to come. I'm just going to go. But yeah, we've reached the end of our program today. Hopefully we've left you with lovely Nicolas Cage goodness. We reached the end of our program today. And now we have some shameless promotion to do. First off, Anthony.
Yes.
You have a blog called figuresandgeeks.blogspot.com. Now, what do you do on this blogspot, Anthony?
Well, let me tell you, because we just happened to run into this.
Let me tell you, brother.
I do reviews of new comic books, graphic novels, movies, figures, statues, pretty much anything from the world of comic books or just pop culture in general. I'll review on there.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what you do on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have an Instagram. It's called Geeks, 4. So Geeks 4 Life Blog.
Yes.
Right? And on there, you post pictures of not only the figures that you've reviewed on your blog spot, you also do custom figures.
Yes.
Right. So you make in the sense that you don't have a factory, but you take other figures and you paint over them and you make custom figures for it. So now you have what's some of the work that you've done? I know you have Optimus Prime. I believe you have a Winter Soldier as well.
Yes, a Winter Soldier, a Superior Spider-Man, other characters like that,
right.
Batman, all that stuff.
Yes, and you do that by, obviously, like I said, you actually repaint over other, models of figures. And what people can do is they can contact you on your blog spot or mostly through your Instagram, right? And when they
– Via direct message.
Right, of course. And by contacting you, they can either negotiate a price with you, tell them, they can tell you, I want this specific figure, and paint it in this specific way. And, you can do some crazy stuff. You can make Spider-Man into Batman, sort of, in theory.
Yeah, make an amalgamation of them.
Yeah. You can make Spider-Man technically look like the older Batman from, Kingdom Come, in theory, because he doesn't really have a cowl.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, he doesn't really have the horns. Yeah, so you can do a lot with these figures. Also, you even do kit bashing, which involves you taking, certain either weaponry or things like that from other sets and then combining them with this set, with this figure to really make it look as good as it can. And, of course, any prices that you want to negotiate with Anthony, you PM him at the Geeks for Life blog, 4, so Geeks for Life blog, on his Instagram. And, yes, and, of course, if you want to hear more of our shows, we have ourselves a Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, at Facebook.com. At Facebook, right, at Facebook. Hitting myself right now. We have a Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or you can search up Those Guys. We post all of our shows on there. We usually do daily shows, but to know what times, obviously, like our Facebook. We do wrestling. We do comics. We're doing another show later tonight that we'll be posting up on our Facebook right after this show's over, and it's going to be a major show. Oh, gravity-defining. And, what else do we do? We also do Dragon Ball Z films, other anime films as well. And I cannot think of anything else other than the fact that we also have an email address, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. You could either email us there to, tell us about different show ideas you might think. Like, maybe you can do My Little Pony or something like that. Because I know that wrestling fan fellow co-host Tish Rab enjoys My Little Pony.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are things we can do. We just definitely need your suggestions. We really like you to get involved in the community. Like the Facebook page. You want to email us about different sponsoring, promoting opportunities. Definitely, email us there as well. Also, we have ourselves a Twitter, at Those Guys Radio. If you want to also follow us on Twitter, we're also very active on there as well. And, yeah, I think we are somehow done for today. Which is a record. We tried to, because usually when we're doing two-hour shows, it's hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
We're just like, I remember the last time we did a two-hour show, it was the Beat the Clock one, right?
That was a one-hour
show. Okay. All right, the one-hour show was Beat the Clock. The two-hour show, though, was, a huge extravaganza.
That was like two weeks worth of comics we had to get done.
Right, yeah. But still, we had a lot to do. I felt as if five was a lot to do. We couldn't have finished this in an hour. But apparently all we needed...
And couple that with the Comic-Con news.
Right, yeah, I assumed... I guess we're just so good at what we do.
We are just that good.
I guess so. We just must be really good.
Tonight
Except
we are
that we're
Pat
not.
Gatto.
Yeah, right, tonight? He's like, yeah, just Deacon Blackfire, it's time. Tonight we Rebecca. But, yeah, so, sadly we're going to have to end this show. Thank you guys for listening to those guys. Definitely check our Facebook, you know, by 7:38, because you are going to hear about the coolest show that we're doing later on tonight. Sadly not with Anthony Sinandris, but we love you, Anthony. It will be with myself and Satish Ram, a kind of late-night, creepy show. And, yeah, that's that. Remember, those guys on the radio. And you've been hearing us talk about Nicolas Cage. But you know what? Let's have you listen to some Nicolas Cage. Here is some of Nicolas Cage, we'll call it music. Something from his own personal library. He's a very good singer. You might not know this. Here's Nicolas Cage in Not the Bees.
Oh, my God.